Now back to WLIP Mornings with Pete Sarzant.
WLIP Morning Show. It's Tuesday, and on Tuesdays we say good morning. And a lot of other things to Dr. Russ Brewer, Care Animal Hospital of Pleasant Prairie. Dr. Russ, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Pete. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing just fine. Hope we find you in pleasant circumstances on this Tuesday.
Well, absolutely. It's nice. It's sunny. You know, it's going to be warm today. I'll be inside most of the day, but that's okay.
I'm guessing you can't play hooky as easily.
No.
Got appointments and patients,
so I can't just say, you know what, it's going to be a super nice day and I'm going to call out. Can't do that. I'll be inside looking out the window wishing I was outside cycling.
Yes, yes. Well, it's that kind of day to dream about all the activities you wish you were doing and hopefully not getting anxiety over the things you're missing.
Right.
Because that can be...
That was smooth.
Yeah. Our topic today is anxiety in dogs specifically. Now, do dogs have anxiety the same way we do? Are we talking about the same thing?
It is similar. Okay. So it is the neurotransmitters in their head getting a little funky. Mm-hmm. So they start thinking inappropriately. And of course, the thing that is their inappropriate behavior is not going to be, you know... it is lashing out.
Right, in their own way.
It's just like, I've never read stories of people biting other people. Well, dogs might lash out and bite because it does cause their fight or flight to mm-hmm. kick in. So it's really more basal. So but there's some subtle things that happen though first. It's not like they're going to go instantly to running or turn around and coming after somebody. There are things that they're going to do beforehand that a lot of us might actually just miss because they're just that subtle, like a big yawn. Mm. And we see this in the exam room all the time. Like if a dog's anxious and then just all of a sudden they're like open their mouth and this giant tongue curling, just yawning, like, yep. So he's a little nervous today. Nobody ever notices it. The owners are like, oh, he's tired. No, he's nervous. Lip licking. So they'll do a lot of that. And they're not eating, they're not drinking, right? They're just sitting there licking their lips, and you're like, what's up with that? I mean, are you nauseated? Are you no, just nervous. Mm. Turning their head away. And this is avoidance. Now, this is a little bit more, you know, especially dog that comes in and probably weighs at least a quarter more than what it should, and you go to give it a cookie, and it's like, nope. Yeah. When you see the dog that looks like it has never shied away from anything to eat, and it turns its head at a cookie, you know it is certainly feeling anxious.
That is certainly similar to some people we know.
And I'm sure. Scratching.
Okay.
So this can be a behavior too. They'll just be sitting there like scratching. It is a nervous behavior. So the one thing, so these are real subtle, and it's like, you know, I guess I always think of anxiety as like somebody like being fidgety and anxious. Like we talk about that. Being anxious.
Right.
And I've had a couple of episodes myself where I have become anxious and I just like, it's like you've got all this energy inside of you, but it's not doing anything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what to do with it. And you're like, I've got to do something because I feel like I'm just going to explode. So, I mean, I've gotten up and walked out of the building, taken a couple minutes to just breathe some fresh air and calm my nerves back down. Dogs don't understand how to do that. Mm-hmm. They're in a situation usually that they're anxious. Now, whether or not that's in, we see this in our exam room, and it's rightfully so. I mean, we're gonna push at them, poke at them, you know, maybe poke them with a needle or two if they're getting vaccines or blood draws. And so that's enough. I mean, any of us going to our doctor get anxious. I mean, your blood pressure shoots up sometimes when you sit down at the doctor's office, right? But, these are things that you just kind of have to watch for. Even at home, you can see this. And this could be because it could be the neighbor mowing the lawn. The dog doesn't like the lawnmower. Fire engines are a big thing, or sirens themselves. The UPS guy showing up. That guy's going to ring that doorbell and then ding-dong ditch. So those are things. Now, certainly we can get to a bit more escalated, which is they freeze. So if they're in a scenario where they're really, so this is fight or flight, and freezing actually is sort of it's the flight. It's not the fight. They just literally shut down and it, like melt, won't move. or you get the other end of that, the Mr. Hyde part of that, where the dog comes out at you. And it is just a fear response. It is outright just they're that anxious that it's now escalated to a full-blown, in essence, sort of an anxiety attack. And those are things where they're just trying to say, hey, listen, I'm uncomfortable with this situation, and I don't want to be here. We have to kind of try to pick up on the cues beforehand so we don't get to the full-blown attack. Sometimes that's where we'll talk about stepping in and having some interventions. Certainly, if owners are seeing some of these things and they want more information, a great resource at home is fearfreehappyhomes.com, which is the Fear Free Society's webpage, and it's got great videos and tips on there of how to address anxiety. Certainly, some calming music, pheromones, over-the-counter type stuff, those things can work for mild stuff, but if you've got a pet that has a bit more anxiety than that, you need to step in and probably have a veterinarian, or even go so far as sometimes they need a veterinary behaviorist, which is the veterinary world's equivalent of a psychologist.
Okay. Little doggy couch.
Therapist, right? Little doggy couch. I've often thought we probably need dog couches or cat couches, but the unfortunate thing is you can't ask them.
No.
So let's chat about your house life, right? But if they need more because, they are that ramped up, certainly getting a consult with us. Dr. Wendt has started doing behavior consultations in our practice, and she's really great with the behavior cases. So that's something you can do. Or if it's just something, we do a lot of pre-visit pharmaceuticals for visits, which are just anti-anxiety meds, trying to bring their anxiety down. And I think even in the human side of things, everybody goes, I don't want to be on meds. I don't want to be on meds, because we're just afraid that, because a lot of things we're like, a lot of us want to have a pill that fixes stuff. And it's like, I want to take a pill just so that I can just be done with it. Mm-hmm. But the reality of it is that when we're using a medication in the dogs and cats, at least what we're trying to do is we're trying to use that medication to allow their brain neurotransmitters to somewhat normalize back out so that we can then train them so that they can learn that, oh, the neighbor's lawnmower is not so scary.
Right.
I don't have to be afraid of it, or I don't have to go attack it. The UPS guy is not some evil demon that was sent by Jeff Bezos. So, it's one of those things that you can train them to work their way through some of these behaviors because they become learned. So you can unlearn the things you've learned. And it's the same thing with us. That's the reason we as people go see therapists, so we can unlearn the things that we've learned that are maybe interfering with our what we would want to have as normal behavior.
Little deconstruction and reconstruction.
Right. And it's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Although they can't do it. They can't go to the self-help section of Barnes & Noble and pick up a book and read it. So we have to intervene as owners or owners and veterinary team. And it's, we're there to help. So when they're exhibiting some of these things, if you see them exhibiting things. Now, the tough thing about yawning, they also yawn when they're tired.
Okay.
So you do have to.
In conjunction with
To look at in conjunction. If they're avoiding things, if they're starting to do multiple things, kind of like shying away from stuff. Okay, maybe they're anxious about that. People coming over to your house. Dogs freak out about that. Mine get crazy happy because they're like, great, somebody else that can pet me that's not tired of petting me like 24 hours a day. but that's the thing is that, if they're starting to show some behaviors, you can always talk to us about that and say, hey, so we're seeing this at home and we'd like to know if there's something we can do. And we try to walk through that best we can. Cause like I said, we don't have a couch we can let them lay down on and pull out the notepad and start taking notes on, why they don't like the cat and, why the neighbor's lawnmower irritates them. We can't take those kinds of notes. So it's just something that we will try to work through, and we just try to piece it together through a good history. And then, clearly physical exam, sometimes here's the real kicker that we have found over the years. Pain causes a lot of fear and anxiety behavior. So the number one thing if your dog's exhibiting or a cat is exhibiting some of these abnormal behaviors, really the first thing for us to do is to make sure that they are not painful from something, because that starts to just trigger a whole bunch of events after that. They start guarding their hip. And then next thing you know, they're agitated at all kinds of stuff. So it's you have to work it backwards.
So the physical can lead to the psychological.
Absolutely.
Okay. Because I was wondering about the physical triggers versus disposition. Obviously, the 4th of July is going to trigger more anxiety than maybe some other things that happen on the daily basis.
Yeah, we dispense a lot of sedatives the couple weeks leading up to the 4th of July week.
Right. So that would be, but the dog wouldn't necessarily, oh, they're predisposed to anxiety or it's a constant thing. It's sort of a trigger that happens and passes, hopefully.
Right. And now, you know, we're in thunderstorm season and storm phobia is a big, huge thing. I mean, so they do have some fears that are not consistent. And so those are hard to work through because it's not like, you know, the neighbor's mowing his lawn every week, sometimes twice a week. But thunderstorms, I mean, you could have, you know, 3 in 1 week. And again, you could go, you know, you could go 2-3 weeks without one. So there are those inconsistencies. And like the 4th of July, like you're talking about, that's one.
You can kind of plan for it at least.
But the thing of it is you can't really de-escalate out of it. It's one of those things that's like, nope, we're just going to medicate through this because it's going to be here for a week and then gone. And then we don't have to worry about it again. Instead of the random graduation party or something, but
yeah, every once in a while you get a blast, but it's not as frequent this time of year.
It's not like 8 hours for 5 days.
Yes, indeed. Love summertime.
Yeah.
So there you go. Well, Dr. Russ Brewer, Care Animal Hospital of Pleasant Prairie, there to help you and your pets, whatever the needs may be. And I'm assuming that those needs are varied and unique. So people should reach out and learn more.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you want to get in touch with us to have that behavior consultation, you can give us a phone call at 262-694-6515. Check us out on the web at careanimalhospital.com. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok as Care Animal Hospital of Pleasant Prairie.
Dr. Russ Brewer, appreciate your time and your expertise. Enjoy the beautiful weather as much as you can today, and we'll catch up with you next Tuesday.
Thanks, Pete. I'll see you next Tuesday.
728 WLIP Morning Show. Hey, in about 15 or so minutes, we'll give the money wheel a spin. $140.50. Morning Roundtable after 8.